أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: الدنيا حرام على أهل الآخرة، والآخرة حرام على أهل الدنيا، وهما حرامان على أهل الله. وقال الإمام الباقر عليه الصلاة والسلام: هل الدين إلا الحب؟ صلوات. The Holy Prophet has informed us that dunya is haram on those who belong to Akhirat, and Akhirat is haram on those who belong to dunya, and both of them are haram on those who belong to Allah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with such a prophet who is taking, who is striving to take us to those levels of highness where we have the capability to reach if we obey and if we transform our spirituality and abstain from all those harams that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us. We must remember that the spiritual elevation depends on how much we are empowered to abstain from the harams and how much we are ready to obey the nurani teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. As the Prophet himself is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran, قُلْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَا رَبُّكُمْ. Say, I recite upon you what your Lord has made haram. So we understand in the light of this verse that if we abstain from the harams of Allah, we get elevated and uplifted. And the more we abstain and disassociate ourselves, let's remember in our minds that all the harams that are performed are because of the hubbud dunya. That's what we are discussing in this series of majalis. The attachment towards this dunya, the first thing as a mu'min, we need to detach ourselves from those attachments which are the root cause of all the harams. And when we detach ourselves from the attachments of dunya, and that's where through avoiding the harams, we are elevating our spirituality. Elevating to a level where we can reach in the proximity and closeness of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. No one can reach the level of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Their level is unreachable for any human being. But the Prophet has, because the Prophet has already, Prophet had already mentioned in his hadith that Ana wa Ali wa Fatima wal Hasan wal Hussein fi qubbatin bayda. Me and Ali. Me and Ali and Fatima and Hassan and Hussein are in the white dome. Fi Hadiratul Quds. In the Hadiratul Quds. Hadiratul Quds is the highest level inside the paradise. Hadiratul Quds. Saqfuha Arshur Rahman Azza wa Jal. Its ceiling is the throne of Rahman. The arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ceiling of that place. So they are at the highest possible level a human can reach. So nobody can be like them and nobody can reach their levels. But Allah's blessing has allowed us, the followers of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, to reach in the qurb and jawar, in the proximity and closeness of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt. And how do we reach the closeness of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Holy Quran to his Prophet, commanding the Prophet, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُوا مَا حَرَّمَا. Say, come up, I recite upon you what your Lord has made haram. In other words, so a Prophet is reciting upon us what Allah has made haram. And if we abstain from the harams, we are uplifting ourselves. Now we are detaching, just like a rocket is about to depart from the launching pad. So unless you remove those things which are holding up the rocket in its place, you can't expect the rocket to leave the earth's surface, because there are things holding up the rocket. You have to detach those things holding up the rocket first, and then the boosters need to be turned on to play their role to elevate your spirituality. Isn't it right? So first things first, we need to detach ourselves from the belongings of this dunya, which are bogging down the servants of Allah from obedience and performing the harams because of those attachments. And then when we break away from those attachments, that's how, by performing the ibadat and worships of Allah, we are elevating our spirituality. So my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri Hafadahullah was in his tafsir was saying, the word ta'ala in Arabic is only used in a place where your audience is standing on a lower level and the speaker is standing on a higher level. That's where in Arabic we use the word ta'ala. If the speaker and the audience, mutakallim and mukhatab, both are standing on the same daraja and level, we don't use the word ta'ala in Arabic. So Quran has used the word ta'ala to the Prophet, saying to the Prophet, Allah is saying to the Prophet, قُلْ ta'ala. That means say. So Prophet was commanded by Allah to say. So Prophet said to the people, ta'ala. Which means, so if the person is the mukhatab, if your audience is standing on the same daraja and level as the mutakallim, as the speaker, then in Arabic we use the word ilayya, but ta'ala. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my teacher was saying, when Allah is commanding the Prophet to use the word ta'ala, it means It means that the Holy Prophet has already reached the highest level. He is already on top. We understand in the light. It means that he is already high. We understand that the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are already standing on the highest possible level, and their audience are at the lower level, and they want their audience to reach up and get elevated by abstaining from all those harams. So now Prophet saying that al-faqru rahatun wal-ghina uqubatun wal-zulmu nadamatun wal-ma'siyatu musibatun. See, and now when the Prophet is informing us about certain teachings from the Alamul Ghaib, we need to pay attention to those teachings. Because we are now talking about elevation of darajat. How we get elevated and get close to the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, nobody can be like them. But we need to get as close as possible to them. Isn't that right? As close as possible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action of our life, a Muslim performs qurbatan ilallah, to seek nearness and taqarrub towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how can we get close? Prophet says, al-faqru rahatun wal-ghina uqubatun wal-zulmun nadamatun wal ma'siyatu musibatun. Faqr aur tangdasti insaan ke liye rahat ka baais hai. Poverty is a means of comfort. Wal ghina uqubatun, and richness is a punishment. Can you imagine? Do you look with the perspective of the Holy Prophet? See, the benefit of learning the Nurani teachings of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, that we get a different perspective. We start looking at the world around us with the divine view. So Islam empowers us to look at the world with the divine view. What in Farsi we call it, Jahan Biniye Islami. Islamic perspective of looking at things around you. Not from your worldly perspective. We have our own perspective, because we are believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a different belief system. We don't believe in this life only. Islam is the religion that promotes several worlds and stages of life before the creation of this dunya, and we believe in several worlds and stages of life after the end of this dunya. Whereas the people of this dunya who are worshipping this dunya are stuck with the life of this world, and they are so short-sighted that they think that this is the life of this dunya, that's it, there's nothing before it and there's not going to be anything after it. So we find that with faqr is comfort. Our scholars say, Ahle Ma'rifat, that faqr is comfort. You don't have to worry about the thieves, and you don't have to worry about the government, and you don't have to worry about the hisab, and you don't have to worry about the adab. Isn't that a comfort? If it was not a matter of pride, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the closest person to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the person who was addressed by Allah, لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْأَفْلَاكِ. So we learn in the light of that hadith Qudsi, that if you were not there, aflaq would not have been created. The whole universe is created to be subservient towards the Holy Prophet. But the hadith didn't stop here. That's narrated in Safinatul Bihar. Muhaddis Qummi rahmatullah alayh has narrated that hadith. So the hadith didn't stop here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says to the Holy Prophet, وَلَوْلَا عَلِيٌّ لَمَا خَلَقْتُكَ. If Ali was not there, I would not have created you. And then the hadith didn't stop there. It moves forward by saying, Allah says, وَلَوْلَا فَاطِمَا لَمَا خَلَقْتُكُمَا. If Fatima was not there, I would not have created both of you.
نَارِ
السَّلَوَانِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
So Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is part of the purpose of the creation of the universe. Nothing of the universe could have been created if Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam was not there. If the imams in her lineage, she is the Ummul A'immah, As-Sirrul Mustawda, the divine secret. She is the divine secret. She is the Laylatul Qadr. If she was not there, nothing would have been created. So we find Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam says, talking about his great-grandmother, that fi ibnati Rasulillah li uswatun hasana. Fi ibnati Rasulillah. In the daughter of the Messenger of Allah lies a role model for me. So Hazrat Fatima alayhi salam is a role model for Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So Imam Sahib al-Zaman al-Islam considers her to be his role model. We need to realize the importance. So what I was saying is that personality for whom the entire universe was created, the Holy Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the whole universe to be subservient into his service, is saying that al-faqru fakhri. Poverty is a matter of pride for me. Isn't that Prophet would have got as much and whatever he wished from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mustajabu da'wah. His dua is always mustajab. Isn't that right? His dua is always mustajab. He could have asked as much money as he wants, as much maal dunya as he wants. But Prophet never looked at this dunya. Never paid attention towards this dunya. Imam Ali alayhi salam never paid attention towards dunya. Never looked at this dunya. That's how they were. Ghurri ghairi. Go and deceive someone else. You know, Imam Ali has given 3 divorces to this dunya. Isn't that right? No attention towards this dunya. Look at their behavior. This Imam Ali commands one of his ashab to pay 1,000. Now this sahabi comes to Imam Ali and says, you asked me to pay 1,000, but you did not mention I shall pay 1,000 dirhams or dinars. And dirhams are silver coins, and dinars used to be gold coins. Isn't that right? So you didn't mention dirham or dinar. What am I supposed to pay him? 1,000 dirhams or 1,000 dinar? Imam Ali replies, kilahuma indi hajarane fa. أَعْطِ الْأَعْرَابِيَ أَنْفَعَهُمَا لَهُ. Both of them are stones for me. Pay this person, Arabi, whatever is more beneficial for him. Look at the بِرَغْبَتِ. The lack of interest Imam Ali al-Islam has shown towards the dirham and dinar. Towards the wealth of this dunya. Zero interest. Doesn't care about the wealth of this dunya. That was the behavior they have shown. They have gotten whatever they wanted. But Prophet says, Al-Faqru Fakhri. Wa bihi aftakhiru ala sa'ir al-anbiya. Fakr and poverty is a matter of pride and fakhr for Rasulullah. And upon this, I feel proud over all the prophets of God. So Prophet is feeling proud over all the prophets because of his fakr towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fakr is of 2 kinds in Islam. One is al-faqr ila nas. You are become muhtaj towards the people, so you start begging. This is condemned in Islam. That kind of fakr, which is al-faqr ila nas, this is condemned in Islam. You are needy towards the people. This kind of fakr, the hadith says, kad al-faqr an yakuna kufra. Fakr nazdik tha ke kufr ban jata. Fakr was close to becoming kufr and disbelief. It's so true. A fakir person is very much vulnerable to sell out his faith and values and end up becoming an infidel. Isn't that right? Ad-dunya bil-amwal wal-akhiratu bil-a'mal. Dunya ki gaadi maal se chalti hai aur akhirat ki gaadi amal se chalti hai. Dunya, in order in this world you need money, in akhirat you need actions. So there's one type of fakr and poverty, which is al-faqr ila nas. That's extremely condemned. It may possibly lead you towards kufr and denying Allah in some scenarios. Whereas the second type of fakr and poverty is what we call al-faqr ila Allah. Standing in need towards Allah. We always stand in need towards Allah. But sometimes we stop feeling the need towards Allah. We should always continue to feel the need towards Allah. Otherwise, in the real sense, we are always muhtaj towards Allah. So we find that Prophet has said, Al-Faqru Fakhri. And de walghina uqubatun. That's where, see, a person, the rebellious nature a human being has. I always say in my speeches, and I have already mentioned in one of my previous speeches to you, all of you respectable brothers and sisters, that there's nothing wrong in Islam in making money. We can make as much money as we want from the halal. There's no restriction in entire Quran or Hadith on making money from halal. All the restrictions of Islam are on spending your money. You can make as much money as you want. There is no restriction from, you can make as much money as you want from the halal sources. So that's not the point. The point is that how much you spend on yourself. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, says that a'taqa alfa mamlukin min kadda yadihi, that means Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam has set free 1,000 slaves from his money, from his earning. So, how much does the slave cost? My question to you, what was the price of a slave? Not one dirham or one dinar. Certainly hundreds of thousands of dirhams, isn't that right? So you multiply that amount into 1,000 slaves, and you can understand that Imam Ali was a rich person, because he made a lot of money. But when it comes to spending on his personal life, he is wearing a shirt with the patches, and wearing his slippers with the patch. Isn't that right? That's how Imam Ali alayhi salam. So there is no restriction in making money. He set free 1,000 slaves from his own earning. Making money and buying the slaves and setting them free, because Islam condemns slavery. A human being is such that when we get more money, we become arrogant, unless and until we have the taharat and tazkiyah of the qalb, like Hazrat Khadija salamu alayhi wa sallam. Making money is not a problem, but she did not spend her money on herself. Isn't that right? Her lifestyle was same, simple lifestyle. Woi sada zisti. Her lifestyle did not change with the money. So she used to lead a simple life. Personally speaking, she was a fakir person. She made a lot of money, but all that money is not for her, that's for Islam. That's how a mu'min is supposed to be, because we consider the money as amanat of Allah. There's a limited piece of pie in this world, brothers and sisters. You don't have unlimited resources in this dunya. Anybody who grabs that limited piece of pie will be playing a significant role in the lives of the rest of the humans around us, positively or negatively. That's where our responsibility comes. When Imam Ali alayhi salam says in Nahjul Balagha, "Ma ja'a faqirun illa bima mutta'a bihi ghaniyun." Koi faqir bhooka nahi rehta magar is wajah se ke ek na ek rais insaan uske paise ke upar aish uda raha hai. There is no poor person who goes hungry, except that there is a rich guy who is rejoicing over the wealth that belongs to that fakir. But we consider the wealth to be ours, isn't it right? You talk to people and say, that's my money, what's the problem in spending it? They forget the basic fact that that's not your money, that's the amanat of Allah in your hand. That's the difference between a mu'min and a kafir. That's how the munafiq used to think, you know, that's our money. Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. This is the fikr of Tuhyan. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh my Lord, give me one loaf of bread in the morning and one loaf of bread in the evening," in other words, "wala, and don't give me more, for atgha, I will rebel." Hazrat Isa is one of the five ulul azm messengers of Allah. Isn't that right? And he's praying to Allah, "Oh my Lord, don't give me more than a loaf of bread in the morning and a loaf of bread in the evening. If you give me more, I will rebel against you." Can you imagine? Isn't that an eye-opener for the rest of the people? What is our behavior supposed to be towards the money? Piling up the money and allowing the people to suffer. This is very instrumental. This is very instrumental as we all strive to be the muntazir, awaiters of Imam Sahibu Zaman alayhi salam. This guy came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and started to praise the people of his town in front of the Imam. "Why don't you do the uprising? You are supposed to do the qiyam. You are the imam. You are the mawla. Lots of people used to show up to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam because they discovered now that the Banu Umayyah and Banu Abbas were fighting the war over the government among each other. Imam Sadiq and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam had the best opportunity to propagate the teachings of the Holy Prophet, and they had a free hand to propagate Islam. Some of the people started to come to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and asked him, why don't you do the Qiyam? And started to praise the people in their community. We have a lot of Shias in our community who believe in you and support you. Did Imam Sadiq al-Islam buy their arguments of those people who are coming and presenting their support to the Imam? Look at what Imam Sadiq al-Islam asked them, asked these type of people. In one incident we learn, Imam al-Islam said to him, Kaifa muasato aghniyaihim lifuqaraihim. That means, how much is the level of the help of the rich people in your area? How much do they help the poor people of your area? And that's not there. And kaifa muwasalatu aghniyaihim lifuqaraihim. How much the rich people stay in contact with the poor people? The guy replies to Imam Sadiq al-Islam, إِنَّكَ تَذْكُرُ أَوْصَافًا لَيْسَ فِي مَنْ عِنْدَنَا. You are talking about sifat and attributes which are not found in the people with us. See, a moment ago, the guy is praising his Shias, his communities in his area, and asking Imam Sadiq al-Islam that you do the Qiyam, you are the Imam and Mawla. We are ready to support you. We have so many Shias in our area. And Imam is asking a question, how much the rich people of your area are in touch with the poor of your area? And how much the rich people of your area are supportive of the poor in your area? Look at the perspective of the Imam, where he's coming from. The guy said, you're talking about sifat and attributes which are not found in the people with us. Then Imam replies, كَيْفَ يَزْعَمُ هَؤُلَىٰ أَنَّهُمْ لَنَا شِيَعَ. How do those people think that they are our Shias? So what concerns the Imam is that how much are we ready to help? So those are people who have more of those material belongings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are not ready to provide that, Imam is not ready to trust you either. So we find that in that time, again, another guy comes and talks about, praises his community in front of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and we are brothers and this and this and this. And Imam alayhi salam said that, يَأْتِي أَحَدٌ إِلَىٰ كِيسِ أَخِيهِ يَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ حَاجَتَهُ. Is that the situation, in other words? Is that the situation in your area? One mu'min can come, one person can come and put his hand into the pocket, into the bag of this other mu'min who has more money. In other words, you know, this guy has money more than his needs of life. This guy is poor. The poor person in your area, can he come to the rich person, put his hand in the bag of the rich person, grab as much money as he wants and leave, and the rich guy is not going to stop him? Is that the situation in your area? He said, no. This is not the situation. Imam said that, you know, in other words, this is not called brotherhood. See, we call brother, brother. This is not the real brotherhood. Let's be fair. This is not the real brotherhood. That's what, you know, it's not part of the hadith, and I'm explaining to you. Imam says that إِذَا قَامَ الْقَائِمْ, when Imam al-Qa'im is going to uprise, that's where the brotherhood will happen. This is right now, we are in a situation of truce. Just like, you know, you make peace with people. There are people who are not brothers. They are not getting along with each other, but you make agreements and truce with the people. So under agreements, we are working together. It's just like that situation. That's not the real brotherhood. The real brotherhood is what's going to happen in the time of Imam al-Qa'im. يَأْتِي أَحَدٌ إِلَىٰ كِيسِ أَخِيهِ يَأْخُذُ مِنْهُ حَاجَتَهُ لَا يَمْنَعُهُ. One mu'min, in other words, can come and take the money from his fellow mu'min brother, and that person is not going to stop him. This is the real brotherhood that we learned from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Salawat.
When the guy denies that we don't have that situation in our area, when it comes to wealth and money, this is how much attached we are with the monetary belongings of this dunya. Unless we detach, how can you become Ahlullah? How can you end up having the love of Allah in your qalb as long as you have the love of dunya in your heart? How can you become that? Didn't Allah say in the Hadith Qudsi, Yabna Adam, بِقَدْرِ مَا يَمِيلُ قَلْبُكَ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا أُخْرِجُ مَحَبَّةِ مِنْ قَلْبِكَ. Oh, the son of Adam, as much as you get inclined towards dunya, I'm going to take my love out of your heart. فَإِنِّي لَا أَجْمَعْ حُبِّي وَحُبَّ الدُّنْيَا فِي قَلْبٍ وَاحِدٍ أَبَدًا. Because I'm not going to combine my love and the love of dunya in one heart. So love of Allah and love of dunya simply never combine. Anybody in the world who has love of the material belongings of this dunya and has a love affair with those and is attached to the material belongings must understand that he has nothing to do with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because love of Allah and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam is one and the same thing, and Allah has already declared his policy that his love simply does not combine in the heart where the love of dunya is there. That's why our Urufa say that this soul, this qalb, this heart of a mu'min is a place of Rahman. Qalbul mu'min arshur Rahman. Qalb and soul of a mu'min is the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qalbul mu'min, the hadith says, Qalbul mu'min haramullah. The soul of a mu'min is the haram of Allah, is the divine domain of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا تُسْكِنْ لَا تُسْكِنْ فِي حَرَمِ اللَّهِ غَيْرَ اللَّهِ. Do not allow to reside anyone other than Allah in the haram of Allah. That's how we are supposed to be when we are serious about the muhabbat of Ahlul Bayt. Inshallah, in my final speech, I will talk about the benefit, some of those important things about the love. Some of the important things which are related to the concept of the love. So we find that Imam alayhi salam replies back to that person when he says, no, the rich person in our area is not like this, that the poor can come and grab the money from his bag and leave and he's not going to stop him. That's not the situation of the rich people in our town. Then Imam replies, فَهُمْ بِدِمَائِهِمْ أَبْخَلْ. And this is their situation, they will be more bakhil and miser towards giving their blood. When the rich people of your area are not ready to give away their money for the sake of the poor people around, how in the world they can sacrifice their blood for them? Isn't that right? So Imam is not going to buy. He's not going to accept that these people are followers who can be trusted by the Imam. How would Imam Mehdi alayhi salam trust us? Unless we go past that stage, past the stage of the love and attachment of this money. Innal insana la yatgha an ra'ahu istaghna. So Quran is informing us, the human being does rebellion, tughyan. Insan jo hai taghir ho jata hai, tughyan karta hai Allah ke muqable mein. A human rebels against Allah. An ra'ahu istaghna. This is another beauty of Quran. Quran did not say when the rich person becomes ghani. Rich person never becomes mustaghni from Allah. He always stands in need of Allah. Quran says, an ra'ahu istaghna. He sees himself that he is mustaghni. He doesn't stand in need of Allah. Well, rich people think like this. They perceive. That's their own perception. They think that they are mustaghni. They don't stand in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's their own perception. In the real sense, we never become mustaghni. We never become, needless. We always have the need towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, faqr is a very significant stage that we need to become faqir ilallah and not faqir ilannas. We need to feel the need towards Allah and get over the stage of attachment of the money of this dunya, and wal ghina uqubatun, and start considering the richness to be a punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do we consider the richness to be a punishment? Uqubat? Hum kya paise ko sarvatmandi ko Allah ka Allah ki uqubat aur azab samajh rahe hain? Kitne log hain? You do a survey in the Shia communities, Muslim communities. How many people consider richness and sarvat to be azab and uqubat of Allah? What are you talking about? People may end up saying, isn't it right? What sort of azab is this? This has been already prayed by Rasulullah Sheikh Tusi Rahmatullah Alayh, the muassis and founder of the House of Najaf. Sheikh Abu Ja'far al-Tusi, in his book Kitab al-Tahzeeb, which is one of the four mother books of Hadith, has already mentioned this riwayatun sahiha, this authentic hadith, which is the dua of Holy Prophet to Allah. And Prophet's dua is already mustajab. Prophet has prayed to Allah, Allahumma rzuq Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin wa man ahabba Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin al-ifaf wal kafaf. Warzuq man abghadha Muhammadan wa ala Muhammadin kathrat al-mal wal walad. This dua is already mustajab. Prophet has prayed to Allah, oh my Lord, give Muhammad and Ali Muhammad and those who love Muhammad and Ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam al-ifafa wal-kafaf. That means iffat and chastity. Wal-kafaf means baqadre zarurat mal. That much money which suffices your needs. Only that much. Oh my Lord, give to Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt and those who love the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt iffat and chastity. First. Second of all, as much money as they need in their life. Nothing more than that. Can you imagine the dua of the Prophet? Look at his wisdom, his panoramic view. And then he prayed to Allah, وَرْزُقْ مَنْ أَبْغَضَ مُحَمَّدًا وَآلَ مُحَمَّدٍ, and give to those who hate the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam كَثْرَةَ الْمَالِ وَلَدْ, give them abundance of money and children. This is narrated by Sheikh Tusi in Kitab al-Tahzeeb, one of the mother books of Hadith. It's already accepted by Allah. We're not supposed to be relying on numbers and majority. They will always have kasrat in money and children. That's the dua of the Holy Prophet. Let's adapt ourselves to the wisdom of the Prophet. Let's not try to reinvent the wheel, because we will be losing Prophet and Allah. Their statement is never going to turn false. We will lose if we don't adapt ourselves to the divine principles. We need to adjust our theories. We need to, instead of relying on the majorities and numbers, we should be relying on the taqwa, relying on Allah, on tawakkul, unifying under one leadership of walayat, and do the duties towards Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam and his deputy. So, how many people consider richness to be uqubat and azab of Allah? Those who are enemies of Ahlul Bayt will have abundance of money. That's the dua of the Holy Prophet. Isn't that a punishment for them? They get more and more and more involved. And more and more and more ghafil. See, the Prophet says, "Az-zahku halakul badan." Our Islamic morality says that don't laugh. Kana zahkuhu at-tabassum. In the Islamic morality, it has been mentioned, Prophet's laughing was tabassum. That means instead of laughing, Prophet used to smile. You don't find in the akhlaq of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt that they were laughing with loud voices. Never. Never in their life, Prophet and Ahlul Bayt used to laugh with loud voices. Zahak is condemned in ilm al-akhlaq. Instead, they used to have tabassum, smile. Look at the wisdoms of the Prophet. Because zahak, that means laughing, is considered to be a sign of ghaflat and ignoring your responsibilities towards akhirat and Allah. Allah doesn't want to be ghafil. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ.
Don't be like the ones who forgot Allah. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. So what happens when some people forget Allah? Allah makes them forget themselves. What happens when Allah makes them forget themselves? When a person forgets himself, that's pure halakat and destruction. Then the Prophet pray in his dua, Allahumma la takilna ila anfusana tarfata aynin abada. Oh my Lord, don't surrender, don't submit the affairs, the charge of affairs of my life into my own hands for the blinking of an eye. That means for the fraction of a second, Prophet was not pleased that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of Allah himself taking the charge of the life of the Holy Prophet, Allah surrenders the charge of the affairs of the life of the Prophet into the hands of the Prophet himself. Prophet was not agreeing on that. Even for the blinking of an eye, how many people are ready to violate in the name of freedom? That's my freedom, that's my choice.
Jazakallah.
Isn't that right? Look at the difference of perspectives. That's why we don't get elevated. Why is the love not there? There are reasons. This commodity of love is the biggest asset of Islam. There is no asset bigger than the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But it has to be maintained. It has to be maintained through actions. So we find that Bushra al-Hafi is walking, is there in his home, and there is song going on, a life song. There's a woman who is singing in his house, and Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam is walking in front of the house. Imam Kadhim alayhi salam is walking in front of the house of Bushra al-Hafi. Imam hears the voice of singing coming from the house. A Masoom is unlike the other people. He can never let go a single haram. We let go so many harams of the people, isn't it right? Because we want to maintain our personal relationship. If I say this and this and this, people will feel bad. Our relations will be harmed. So our personal relationship is more important than our relationship with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. Na'uzubillah. God forbid. Isn't that right? Actions speak louder. So we ignore the harams of the people so that we can maintain our fake relationships on the fake grounds. But that's not how a Masoom is. A Masoom can never ignore the haram of the people. So Imam alayhi salam, this servant of Bushir brings the garbage outside the house, the door of the house, to throw the garbage outside. And Imam asks this female servant, is the owner of the house a free person or a slave? In other words, which I'm paraphrasing these narrations. And she replied, the owner, my owner is a free person. I mean, he's not a slave. He's a free person. Imam Kadhim alayhi salam said, لَوْ كَانَ عَبْدًا لَخَافَ مِنْ مَوْلَاهُ. If he was a servant, if he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his Mawla. That means you're saying the truth, he's not a slave. If he was a slave of Allah, he would have been afraid of Allah. Look at the wisdom of the Masoom. What a pinching statement. You know, just putting your hand on the nerve center. This woman, this slave of Bushir, was engaged in the conversation with Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam for a while. So now she returns back a little late. So her master, her owner, Bushir, asked her, what made you come late? And she replied, there was a person passing by in the street and he asked me the question, is the owner of this house a servant or a free person? And I said to him that my owner is a free person. And he replied, yes, if he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his Mawla and master. So Bushir
when he heard that statement of the Masoom. The statements of Masoom have asar and ta'fir. Right? Inna al-kalama idha kharaja min al-qalb dakhala fil qalb wa idha kharaja min al-lisan lam yatajawaz al-adhan.
The hadith says, when a statement comes out of the soul, it enters into the soul. When it comes out from the tongue, it does not penetrate farther than the ears. If you want your statements to have be effective, you must practice before you preach. And that's where you find your statements becoming effective in the people. Of course, we don't practice because of making our statements effective. We practice for the sake of Allah. So, Bushir got moved. He was moved with the statement. Who was that guy who said that kind of statement? That if he was a slave, he would have been afraid of his Mawla and Master. Of course, the real Mawla is Allah. Isn't it right? So he ran out of his house into the alley barefooted, and that's what in Arabic we call the barefooted person as Hafi. So we call Bushir in Ilm al-Rijal, when we talk about Bushir, we call him Al-Hafi, Bushir Al-Hafi. He is the narrator and Ravi of some of the riwayat. So he is known in Ilm al-Rijal as Bushir Al-Hafi, Bushir the barefooted, because he ran behind Imam Qasim alayhi salam barefooted. And he ran and he discovered that, you know, Imam of course went forward. He found the Imam and he discovered this is Imam al-Qasim alayhi salam, the Imam of his time. And he starts to be apologizing towards the Imam. That Mawla, is there a way that my apology can be accepted by Allah? So there's always a room for apology if we apologize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always ready to forgive if we apologize with ikhlas and with its conditions. Imam al-Islam asked him to just get rid of those things, in other words, those harams that he is doing, and he can be forgiven. So he did the tawbah then and there, you know, and of course his apology became one of the zahid, one of the nice and pious people of his time. Salawat. Allah. So it's about how much we disassociate with the attachments of this dunya, you know, that we are ready to, buy the highest commodity. In order to buy the highest commodity, the muhabbat and love of Ahlul Bayt, we have to make ourselves eligible to buy it. And the price of buying the muhabbat is to get rid of the love of this dunya first. First things first. That's the price you need to pay to buy the muhabbat of Ahlul Bayt. Getting rid of the attachment of this dunya. Just like you see how Sa'id ibn Jubair, Sa'id is one of the greatest companions of Imam Amir Mumineen alayhi salam. Companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam maintain their love with a lot of hardship. That's not easy to maintain the highest commodity, the love. Is that right? And we have been persecuted throughout the centuries. We have been killed and jailed and tortured and injured and maimed throughout the centuries by the taghuts. And we are proud of our sacrifices. I remember Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayhi used to say, the history of Shia religion is a red line of blood. Our ancestors, our great personalities, our scholars, our shuhada have given blood throughout the life, throughout the history, and we are proud over those sacrifices. That's how the religion of Shia Islam has been protected by the blood of shuhada. Our history is a red line. That's how we are proud of. So we are not scared of shahadat. So we find that Sa'id ibn Jubair is now persecuted, you know, and when Sa'id ibn Jubair is persecuted, and now this zalim, he brings Sa'id ibn Jubair before killing Sa'id, and he becomes sarcastic, and Sa'id says that, he says to Sa'id, how are you feeling before killing him?
He said, I find myself in the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first ni'mat I am feeling is that you have control over my life, but you don't have control over my iman. That's the first ni'mat of Allah that I'm enjoying. The second ni'mat of Allah that I'm enjoying, you have control over my life once. You can only kill me once, but then I'm going to succeed forever. You have control for the second time over my life. The third thing is that I am dying as a mazloom, but I have not performed any zulm. You are the one who is zalim and I am the one who is mazloom. Look at the answers. Look at the answers of these great personalities. So that's how they have protected Islam. You know, Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ayli is a follower of Amir Mumin al-Salam, a lover of Imam Ali al-Salam. And he was the one, a staunch supporter of Imam Ali. After the Shahadat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Muawiyah sends honey into the house of Abu al-Aswad as a bribe to purchase him. And he has a like 5 or 6 year old daughter. You know, a girl, a little girl, she's just a little girl. The honey comes in the house. All the followers of Ahlul Bayt were poor people throughout the history. All the followers of all the prophets and all the imams were poor people, including Hazrat Khadija, like I mentioned to you, because her personal life is like a poor person. But all the money is for Islam. Isn't that right? So we find that honey is sent into the house of Abu al-Aswad, a supporter of Amir Mumin al-Salam. His daughter rushes, she got the honey, she puts a little bit of honey into her mouth. And her dad says to the daughter, take the poison out. Daughter says, Dad, this is not poison. Little daughter, 5, 6 year old. Dad, that's not poison, that's honey. Abu Aswad says to his daughter, don't you know that the son of Hind has sent it to take the love of Ali ibn Abi Talib away from me? This is poison. See, this is how they protected their iman and their love towards Ahlul Bayt. So, salawat. So this is the biggest commodity that we have. And crying in the fear of Allah is aman al-buka'u min khashyatillah. Then the Prophet says, al-buka'u min khashyatillah amanum min an-nar. Crying from the fear of Allah is a security from the hellfire. So there are two kinds of tears which are very, very expensive. First tear is that if you cry from the fear of Allah. And the second tear is the tear which you shed in the aza and musibat of Hussein ibn Ali. We have hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying that there is one thing, in other words, for which Allah did not fix a price. See, for everything in Islam, in other words, there's a price. You know, prayers, you do prayers, you have this much reward. You have fasting, you have this much reward. You have Hajj, you have this much reward. You give away khums, you have this much reward. Isn't that right? For things in ibadat, there's a price, there's a value already assigned to various ibadat and worships. But Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, there's one thing for which a value is not yet assigned. And that is the qatra, the tear drop that you shed in the aza of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There is no value assigned yet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the tear that Allah loves. Inna Allah, when Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, Inna Allah khalaqal jannata min nuril Hussein. I want all my children here and the elders to memorize this hadith of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Inna Allah khalaqal jannata min nuril Hussein. Allah created the paradise from the nur of Hussein. Jannat is created from the nur of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Who can understand the highness of Imam Hussein? And how much Imam Hussein cried? You know, one of the shuara has mentioned, and I would like to talk about that shaheed. So we all cry on Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Isn't it right? That's a matter of pride for us. Fakhr for us. But Imam, there is a personality for whom Imam Hussein cried. And tonight I would like to talk about that personality. You know, the Sha'ir says in Arabic that, Fatan Abkal Husayna bi Karbala'i. That young man deserves to be wept for. We should cry for that person for whom Imam Hussein had cried. And he made Imam Hussein to cry. And that was, Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Abu al-Fadl Abbas is the person that made Imam Hussein to cry. Isn't that right? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he was the panahgah and refuge for Hussein ibn Ali. One of the shuara wrote a shair, and he said in his shair that Yawmun Abu al-Fadl istajar al-huda in Arabic. He wrote a misra that day of Ashura was a day when Abu al-Fadl Abbas provided panah and refuge to Imam Hussein. And then after writing the shair, he cut off the misra. He said, no, that's not possible. How can a masoom take a refuge towards a non-masoom? First of all, Hazrat Abbas alayhi salam was a masoom as well. First of all. And then, second of all, when he slept, he saw in his dream, Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes, according to that narration, Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes and says to him, why did you cut off that misra? I did take refuge in Abu al-Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. Maulana farmaya ke maine to panah li thi Abbas ke paas. Certainly Imam Hussein took panah and refuge to Abu al-Fadl Abbas. Abu al-Fadl Abbas is the refuge of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, Ayatullah Sibagay, who used to recite the Salatul Jama'at in the haram of Abu al-Fadl Abbas, he saw a dream that Abu al-Fadl Abbas came into his dream and talked about his masaib. Why don't you read? And then Ayatullah Sibweh said to him that, Mawla, what masaib are you talking about? Of course he used to read the masaib of Abu al-Fadl Abbas. What masaib are you talking about? And Abu al-Fadl Abbas replied that every shaheed, when he used to come down over the ground of Karbala, they used to have hands. See, the only shaheed was Abu al-Fadl Abbas. When he fell down on the ground of Karbala, his hands were already cut. So when he fell down, all the arrows again penetrated into his body, because he came over the arrows. He didn't have hands to take help from his hands. So we find Abu al-Fadl Abbas, when he reached the Furat to Imam Hussein in Islam, one of the places where Imam Hussein cried with a loud voice was close to Furat. That's where he cried with a loud voice. Imam Abu al-Fadl Abbas, when he reached into Furat, then he filled up the water bottle with the water to take it for Hazrat Sakina. And he took the water in his hand, but he did not drink from that water, because he recalled Hazrat Sakina. How can Abu al-Fadl Abbas drink water without Sakina and without Imam Hussein? Remember, Abu al-Fadl Abbas is the only shaheed in Karbala. Ayatullah Sir Jafar Shustari says he is the only shaheed in Karbala. When Prophet used to bring Jame Kausar for every shaheed, bringing the water of the fountain of Kausar at the time of shahadat of every shaheed, the Abu al-Fadl Abbas is the only shaheed who refused to drink the Jame Kausar, who refused to drink the drink from the fountain of Kausar from the hand of Rasulullah. Because how can Abu al-Fadl Abbas drink that as long as Imam Hussein is thirsty? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave him the title of Babul Halaij.
that he is the door of the hajat and needs of the people. Whatever dua you have, just go to Abul Fazl Abbas and seek your dua from Abul Fazl Abbas, because he is the Babul Hawa'id. We find Abul Fazl Abbas is returning back, and now when the army has surrounded the house of Abul Fazl Abbas, now one of the ashqiya strikes over his right hand and his right hand got cut, but he still did not stop moving his horse towards the khiyam so he can take the water to Sakina. Sakina is waiting for water, that now her uncle has went to take the water. She has a lot of hope that water will arrive. Abbas alayhi salam did not stop his horse, and one of the ashqiya moves forward and cuts the left hand of Abul Abbas. Now he is holding the mashq of Hazrat Sakina in his mouth, but he still did not stop moving forward. And that was the time, according to certain narrations, where Harmala threw the arrow over the mashq of Hazrat Sakina. And as long as the arrow strikes over the mashq, the narration says, Hazrat Abbas now didn't move forward towards the khiyam. He did not move towards Hazrat Sakina. Of course, he doesn't want to, because he doesn't have the water any longer. How would he move forward towards Hazrat Sakina? We find that Abul Fazl Abbas, when the Bashir arrives in Medina and starts giving the news of Shahadat. You know, when you inform somebody, Hazrat Ummul Baneen arrives, when you inform someone about the Shahadat, you tell slowly and gradually, four of her sons became Shaheed. So Bashir is informing the news gradually to Hazrat Ummul Baneen. Then Hazrat Ummul Baneen says to Bashir, قَدْ قَتَعْتَ نِيَاتَ قَلْبِي. Arey, tune mere rage gardan ko paara paara kar diya. You cut off the vein of mine. And Bashir says, what did I do? She replies, Hazrat Ummul Baneen says, you did not inform me about the real news. What has happened to my son Hussein? And Bashir says, Imam Hussain got killed. As soon as Hazrat Ummul Baneen learns that Imam Hussain got killed, she turns to Imam Ali alayhi salam and she says, that you were so much proud over Abul Fazl Abbas, my Hussain got shaheed. And Bashir says to Ummul Baneen, please don't say like this. As long as Abbas was alive, he did not allow anything to happen to Imam Hussain. He did not let anything to happen to Imam Hussain. So now Imam Hussain is turning the Al-An in Qata'a Zahri wa Qallat Hilati. Now my back has broken and my plan has decreased. Now Imam Hussain is coming back to his khiyam after the Shahadat of Abul Fazl Abbas. We find Hazrat Zainab said that this, of course, she realized now the time had arrived. You know, her father Imam Ali used to kiss the hands of Hazrat Zainab. Imam Ali used to kiss the hands of his daughter Zainab. You know, these are the places where the ropes will be tied. And of course, now Hazrat Zainab realized that the time has arrived that the ropes will be tied over the hands of Hazrat Zainab. Someone who has a brother like Abbas, how can anyone tie up ropes in the hands of his sister? But now that Abbas is no longer there, we find the time has
على لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها وإلها پرچم اسلام کو سر بلند فرما پرچم کفر و شرک و نفاق کو سر نگون فرما انقلاب اسلامی کی حفاظت فرما تمام علماء ربانیین تمام مراجع کرام بالخصوص رہبر انقلاب کا سایہ ہمارے سروں پہ برقرار رکھ، تمام مجاہدین اسلام کی توفیق میں اضافہ فرما، تمام مومنین کی جان و مال و آبرو کی حفاظت فرما، تمام مومنین کی مشروع حاجات کو پورا فرما، تمام مومنین کو وظائف شرعیہ پر عمل کرنے کی توفیق عنایت فرما، ہماری اس قلیل عبادت کو قبول فرما، ہمیں اس وقت تک اس دنیا سے نہ اٹھا جب تک امام زمانہ ہم سے راضی نہ ہو جائیں، ان کے ظہور میں تعجیل فرما، ہم سب کو ان کے انصار و اشیاء میں قرار دے۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم بجاہ محمد و آلہ المیمین یا حسین۔
Yeah, I'll say.